All right, come on. Hey, come on, Rev City Church. Lift up your best praise to Jesus this morning in this place. Jesus, you are worthy. You are the Lamb that was slain, the Lamb that was worthy. Thank you, Lord. Hey, good to be with you this morning. You can have a seat if you're here in the room. I want to welcome you, those of you who are joining us online as well. Hey, it's good to be back. Those of you that don't know, for the last month or so, we have been on sabbatical, and just so thankful. I want to just take a moment and say thank you to you guys for praying over us and covering us. We felt your prayers. And thank you to the leadership, to the elders of this church who value our health and our marriage and our family enough to not just encourage us to get away. Once every 5 years, they're asking us to get away for about a month and just be refreshed and restored and rejuvenated, refocused, come back, just refreshed for another 5 years of ministry and leadership. And they don't just value it enough to encourage us, they require it of us. And so I want to say thank you. You know, I was a bit reluctant. I tend to just pour myself into work and ministry, especially with everything that's going on in our world and in our culture. And so I was reluctant. I was a little bit cautious about it, but I'm just going to tell you, it was a blessing. How many know that sometimes it's not convenient to be obedient, but there's always a blessing on the other side of obedience to God? And so we want to say thank you. Thank you guys for praying for us. Thank you to the elders for requiring that of us and seeing the benefit in it. How many of you know that God values rest so much that he made it a part of the Ten Commandments? Honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. One day out of the week, there's a principle of rest. And he cares about it so much. It's important enough to him. He made it a part of his top 10 list. And we are not quick to violate the other 9 commandments, but maybe too often we violate that one. We just grind it out and we just focus on our work and we just keep pressing ahead and forging ahead when really the better idea is to honor God. Listen, what God's word says and offers to us is always for our good and for our blessing. And so again, I was a little bit reluctant, but we're coming back refreshed and rejuvenated, ready to lead and serve alongside you guys to make a difference in our city and in our nation for the glory of Jesus Christ, to see many people revived to life in Jesus. And so just so thankful for it. You know, we got away. We went down to South Texas where we moved here from 5 years ago. And we figured if we got to be socially distanced, we might as well go and do it on the beach. Amen. Come on. And so we went and did that. We stopped off in San Antonio, went to SeaWorld, and it was awesome. No lines on the rides. They were operating at 20% capacity. And so even though they were only putting people on every other cart on the roller coasters, you just walked right up and just got on the line. It was awesome. It was amazing. And quick story, one day we were going up the roller coaster, and how many of you could just picture that? You know, you're going up the big ascension there to get ready for the big plummet. And how many of you can even just hear that sound, you know, that clink, 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 you know, that the chain is making as it's leading the cars forward. And that sounds a little bit annoying, but how many know you want to hear that sound in that moment? You know, when that sound goes away, you're going the other direction real fast. You want to keep going forward, you know? So we got to the top, the very apex, and the cart stopped. How many of you, has that ever happened to you when you've been on a ride like that and they've stopped it? And how many of you also know that there is no good reason why they would ever do that? They are not stopping it to inform you that you recently won Publishers Clearing House. They are not stopping it to tell you that the Kansas City Chiefs cheerleaders and some nice young man named Pat Mahomes is there to tell you you're the Chiefs fan of the year and you have season tickets. You're one of the 16,000 that gets to attend the games in person. They are not, there's no good reason why they stopped the roller coaster at the top of the ride. But that's exactly what they did. And so we're like, what's going on, you know? And suddenly the voice of the teenage kid who has your life and 21 other lives at his disposal, he's at the controls of this ride, you know? He comes on the speakers that I didn't even know that they had. And he says, attention, lady in the back of the ride, if you do not place your mask back over your nose and mouth, this ride will not resume and you will be escorted out of the park. And we were just like, how do they even know? There's cameras, they're watching. Big Brother is everywhere, you know? They were taking it seriously. And so sure enough, as soon as she replaced her mask over her face, the ride resumed, you know, we were on our way. So we had a great time. We got to go to the lake and just spend some time there, socially distanced and just spending time as a family. But listen, as grateful as we are for the time that we had, as a family, we're grateful to be back to this church family. This is a special church family. God is on the move at Rev City Church, and God has big things in store for us. And listen, as the last 10 days, the first 30 days of the sabbatical were just intentionally designed, the elders said, we want you to rest. Don't do emails. Don't do anything that you normally do as part of your job functions. Just rest. Just connect with your family. Just do some things that are recreational, that bring life to you. And have you ever thought about that word, recreation, and really broken it down, recreate? And listen, I'm just saying, I can be guilty of this myself, just grinding it out. And maybe some of us are weary and hurting and dry because we're not making time or taking time to rest, to Sabbath, and to recreate, to do something that brings you life. For me, it's fishing or golfing or hunting, spending times with my kids, doing things outdoors. I don't know what it is for you, collecting stamps, antique shops, farmers markets, maybe shopping. Come on, it's a good time to elbow your husband if you're a lady. Whatever it is that gives you life, make time for recreate, be recreated, be refreshed. God cares enough about rest that he made it on his top 10 list. Honor the Sabbath, honor the rest. You're better when we do things God's way. Those last 10 days as I was seeking the Lord for vision, again, the first 30 days, intentionally just get away, rest, be refreshed, be rejuvenated, come back restored and refreshed. But the last 10 days we've been here in Lawrence, our kids have been doing school, going to school, and by going to school, I mean getting out of their bed and going to our kitchen and our living room. Come on, the struggle is real, you know, we're navigating that. And so we've been here in Lawrence, the kids have been going to school, and I've been seeking the Lord for vision. And I don't mind telling you that the first 4 or 5 days I was seeking the Lord, it was hard. I wasn't hearing anything. And listen, I hope this is okay for you to hear that even your pastor has times where there's spiritual dryness. And even your pastor has times where I'm seeking and searching the Lord and asking him to speak to me and I'm not hearing anything. What I've learned is that those of us who wait upon the Lord, and I just kept praying. I kept saying, Lord, I want to hear you. I want your heart. I don't want my ideas or my plans or my thoughts about what the future holds for Rev City Church. I want to hear your heart. I want to have your mind. I want your plans, your vision for this church family. What are you calling us to do? And what are you calling us to be? What are you calling us to build? Who are you calling us to reach? And then he spoke something to me and it set me free. He said, Thomas, the vision I've already given you has yet to expire. I've called you Rev City Church because I've called you to lead a revolution of faith and family. I've called you to see people revived to life in Jesus Christ as a church family joins together to live out an active life of faith that reveals Jesus to our community. He said, that vision is yet to expire. And it set me free. And I began to say, okay, God, thank you. It's not a new vision. It's just what's new in this season. How are we going to accomplish those things? To see people reached and to see people revived to life, to reveal Jesus to a community. And by the way, I'm more convinced than ever that Jesus is the hope for Lawrence, Kansas, come on, and for the United States of America. When we were going into the pandemic season, the Lord spoke something to my heart, and I've shared this with you before, but he spoke it to me that his heart for us in this season was that somehow, some way, in spite of the isolation, in spite of the social distancing, that we would emerge on the other side of the season somehow, some way, more connected, more committed, and more convinced. And listen, I want to encourage you, find a way, whether it's online or in person, get in a life group and build relationship. It's where so much ministry and life happens, in relationships with other believers. But listen, for many of us, I believe that whether or not we emerge on the other side of this season more connected and more committed still hangs in the balance. That battle is being waged over many people's hearts and homes. But there's one thing that, at least for me, is clear, and that is that I am more convinced. That's what he said, more connected, more committed, more convinced. And as I look around the world today and I see everything that's going on in our culture and I see the battles that are being waged and I see the division that the enemy is sowing into our lives and our communities, into our homes, into our nation, I'm more convinced than ever that who we preach and the message that we preach matters. It's important. It's vital. I'm convinced that the Church of Jesus Christ is the hope for LFK, Lawrence for the Kingdom. It's the hope for the United States of America. It's the hope for our world. And listen, the reason that the church is the hope of the world is because our message is Jesus. It's who we preach. This message that God loves the world so much that he won't leave them the way that they are. He sent his son to pay the price that we can never pay, to make a way that we could be restored to relationship with him. I'm more convinced than ever. And I want to talk to you this morning about how to fight the spiritual battles that are going on in your life, about how we as a church can engage in the spiritual battles that are going on in our culture and in our world today. And I titled this message, Don't Fight Fair. And I did it for a couple of reasons. One is I just always am trying to think of something that if you were looking on YouTube or somewhere and you saw a title of different messages, something that would cause you to at least kind of pause and take a look at it and say, what's that about? And I titled it Don't Fight Fair because I want to encourage us this morning that when we fight the way that the Bible says we have the opportunity to fight from a platform of victory that is secured in Jesus Christ, when we fight that way, the fight is not fair. Because we're not fighting in our own strength. We are simply enforcing the victory of Jesus that was forever and eternally won for us on the cross of Calvary. It's not fair to the enemy. The battle is settled. It's waged. It's warred. It's won. It's determined. It's not fair to the enemy, but we have to fight. And you know, I saw something as we were on sabbatical that just reminded me, underlined this message. And this whole idea of the battle belongs to the Lord. And we fight, we war, we battle. There's a part that we have to play, but the victory belongs to God. And one of the things that I did intentionally throughout our season is I just made time to just sit with my kids for a longer time than I normally have the ability to do. And one of the things we did is we watched some movies, and one of the movies that we watched was The Lion King. How many of you are familiar with The Lion King? Have watched The Lion King? We were actually watching the newer version that has the actual animals in it, you know? And I was struck by this scene where the little lion cub, what's his name, Simba, is being surrounded by the hyenas, and they're seeking to devour him. Just like the Bible says, we have an enemy who's going around seeking whom he may devour. They're circling him and surrounding him, and little lion cub Simba begins to discover his voice, and with the meekness of his little frail lion cub body, he lets out a roar. And in that very moment, he's struck by the fact that the hyenas begin to scatter. But what he didn't realize is that his dad, come on, the king of the herd, was standing behind him, roaring behind him. What's the dad's name? Mustafa, is that right? Mustafa? Mufasa, I'll get that wrong every time. And it's the same way for you and me. In our own strength, we might think, well, I'm just a lion cub, and my voice, I just barely even know what to say. But when we begin to roar the words of God, the word of God, the promises of God, reminding ourselves of the victory of God and putting the enemy on notice of who we are because of the blood of Jesus, not because we could ever earn it or deserve it, because it was the free gift that was extended to you and me, and now it's who we are and it's upon what we stand. When we begin to just come on, just begin to roar just a little bit. Just picture that little baby lion cub Simba. There's the Lion of Judah with all his fierceness and all the victory of heaven backing you up, standing behind you, roaring in a way that causes the enemy to flee from your life, flee from your marriage, flee from your health. Come on, we have the Lion of Judah on our side. And when we fight, according to the way that the Bible tells us to fight, the fight is not fair. Come on, look at your neighbor, whoever you're worshiping with at home, and say, don't fight fair. Don't fight fair. Come on, say it. Don't fight fair. It's not fair. It's already won. It doesn't seem fair, but we got to fight. And listen, too many of us, you look around, you turn on the TV, it doesn't matter what channel you're watching, we see people all around us trying to fight and win spiritual battles with earthly means. Violence and hatred and division. And the Bible says that you and I, we don't fight the same way that the world fights. First of all, our battle is not against people. We can't look at the battle as it's against people. It's not against another political party. It's not against another race. It's not against a group of people. There's a spiritual battle. And to win a spiritual battle, we have to fight in a spiritual manner. And the Bible says this. It says, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. But against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, mighty powers in the dark world, evil spirits in heavenly places. Come on, in your marriage, your spouse is not your enemy when you're fighting. There's a spirit that's trying to come and sow discord and strife into your marriage because he would do anything that he can. He sees the power, the potential of your marriage when you're walking in the unified anointing of the Holy Spirit, and he's trying to get himself into your home, entrench himself into that marriage. Your battle is not against flesh and blood. There's a spiritual battle. And the Bible says that we fight. Look at it. Just look at it. Let the word of God just do the work. 2 Corinthians 10. It says, for though we live in the world, verse 3, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Listen, be careful that you don't give in to the temptation to fight the spiritual battle over your life with earthly means. Sometimes it's easier, it's more convenient, and here's the bottom line. Sometimes it just feels good to take the battle into your own hands, to allow yourself to say the hurtful thing back or to allow yourself to put the post that you know is going to divide or is going to separate. Sometimes it feels good to do it. I'm telling you, be careful giving into the temptation to fight a spiritual battle with earthly means. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Your fight is not against people. It's against the spiritual realm. And we don't war like the world wars. We have spiritual weapons at our disposal. And when we use them, the fight is not fair. Did I tell you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20? If I didn't, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And as you're turning there or clicking there, they'll put the scripture up behind us. I want to pray over us, and I want to invite the Spirit of the Lord here in this place today to strengthen us, encourage us, remind us of some things, maybe reveal some things into us in a new way that causes us to live differently from this day moving forward. And so 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and as you're turning or clicking there, allow me to pray over us. And listen, I'll pray over us corporately. But right where you are, man of God, woman of God, pray and ask the Lord to come and speak to you today, to strengthen you today for your unique situations, circumstances, challenges, the battles that you're up against, to encourage you today with what you're facing. And Lord, I thank you that that is your heart, to encourage your people, to strengthen your people, God. And we pray today that as we open up your word, it's living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts and divides, God. And we thank you, Lord, today that you would come and you would separate the things that are not from you, Lord, those things that maybe we've taken into our hands and those battles that we've been fighting in our own strength. And Lord, today, would you come and would you reveal to us or remind us of, Lord, what your word has to say, that we fight from a position of victory because of Jesus Christ. The battle is yours. It's been won. It's been settled for all eternity. It will stand. And Lord, I thank you that those who are weak, weary, wounded, hurting, God, any area of their life, spiritually, physically, relationally, Lord, marriages, families, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, places where people are hurting, places where people are anxious, places where people are fearful, I pray today, God, that the word of God would come and do its work, bring strength, bring hope, bring life, bring freedom, bring renewal, bring restoration today in a way that only you can do. We welcome you, Lord, into this place. Come and have your way. Speak to us as your people in Jesus' mighty name. And come on, all God's precious people said, amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we're going to read quite a bit of this passage, almost the entire chapter. And I've shared this with you before, but the Lord's really burdened me and challenged me to take a little bit more time and read more of the Bible and more of these Bible stories of old, these passages, maybe read a little bit more than we normally would. I could go in and I could mine out 5 or 6 scriptures that would make the points I want to make today, but the Lord's just been burdening my heart to spend a little bit more time, take a little bit more time, that there are new believers. There's a generation of believers who are coming to the Lord Jesus who maybe didn't grow up in Sunday school. And so to take some time and allow the word of God, allow these Bible stories to build our faith for the battles that we're up against. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we find King Jehoshaphat leading the people of Judah. And it's been a good season. King Jehoshaphat has been a godly king, and yet they find themselves being surrounded on all sides by enemies who are seeking their demise. And so let's read. Come on, we're going to read a lot of this. Hang with me, but ask the Lord to speak to you through the word of God this morning. And then we're going to back up and we're going to unpack 6 verses out of these 25 verses and underline how we can fight differently in a way that is not fair to the enemy. And so verse 1, it says, now it came about after this that the sons of Moab, the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Meunites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. Then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is, En Gedi. Jehoshaphat was afraid, and turned to his attention to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord, and they even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. Then, verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? And are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand, so that no one can stand against you. Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? They have lived in it. They have built a sanctuary there for your name, saying, should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our distress. You will hear us and you will deliver us. Now behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. They turned aside from them and did not destroy them. See how they're rewarding us by coming to drive us out from your possession, which you have given us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. All of Judah was standing before the Lord. Come on, picture it in your mind's eye this morning. The people of God gathered together, oppressed on all sides, facing insurmountable odds and innumerable enemy. And they've gathered together to seek the Lord, and they're standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. Come on, just picture it, families gathering together, babies on the hips of the mamas and the children running circles around the parents and gathered together, and it's a time of uncertainty. God's led them and seen them through, but now what are we going to do? It says, reading on verse 14, then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. And he said, listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley in the front of the wilderness of Jeriel. You need not fight in this battle, but station yourselves. Another translation says, position yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites from the son of the Kohathites and the son of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel. How? With a very loud voice. And they rose early in the morning. They went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets, his word, his promises, what he has spoken, and you will succeed. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord, those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord. For his loving kindness is everlasting. When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, the enemies who were surrounding them, who moving in on all sides. It says, as they began singing and praising, the Lord began to bring confusion. He set ambushes against those who were standing against the people of Judah, so much so that they were routed. The sons of Ammon and Moab had risen up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Confusion amongst the camps as the people of God simply stood and praised. When Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, they looked towards the multitude, and behold, there were corpses lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including goods, garments, and valuable things, which they took for themselves, more than they could carry, and they were 3 days taking the spoil because there was so much. I wonder if anyone's ever felt surrounded on all sides. I wonder if anyone's ever felt like you were in a battle and up against an enemy in which you were outnumbered and there was no way out. I wonder if your marriage, you've ever felt trapped, you've ever felt like there was no way that God could ever bring restoration. I wonder if anyone's ever had a child or a grandchild who's drifted from God and you just felt like what they've gotten themselves into, it's insurmountable. There's no way. I'm here to tell you today that there is a way if we will fight like God has us to fight. It's exactly what the people of Judah found themselves in. God had led them to a place. God had seen them through some things. And yet all of a sudden they found themselves surrounded, facing insurmountable odds, not knowing where to turn. And here's where I want to glean six things from this passage that I believe that if you and I will take these things and begin to live them out, begin to walk them out, begin to practice them in our lives of faith, that it will position us to see the Lord show up strong on our behalf, to see us begin to see the Lion of Judah standing behind us, roaring and bringing all the authority and victory of heaven into our circumstances and our situations. And all six of these things, the noun starts with P and the verb starts with S. Come on. I'm back and my alliterations are back with me. Amen? Number one, seek his presence. Seek his presence. In verse 3, it says that Jehoshaphat, when he heard about this army that was gathering against him, it says he turned his attention to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. He turned his attention. Listen, what has your attention today? Are you more focused on the problem or the promises? Are you more focused on the problems or God's presence? And I'm telling you, real problems, real circumstances, real challenges, every one of us has those things in our life. But the battle is doing what Jehoshaphat did and turning our attention away from the problems and towards the presence of God. He turned his attention to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Listen to me, how the battle goes for you almost every time depends on who you turn to. When you come against something unforeseen, unexpected, unfair, who or what do you turn to? Jehoshaphat sought his presence. In that moment, there are many things that we are tempted to turn to that bring temporary relief, temporary distraction. But we need a people who begin to say, those things, the peace that they bring, the comfort that they bring, the distraction that they bring is circumstantial and it's fleeting, but there's a peace that's found in God's presence. There's an answer that's found in God's presence. I am going to seek the Lord. You know, the Lord spoke something to me as I was seeking him for vision for our church. And a big part of why we're called Rev City Church is we really want to see revival in the hearts of people, in hearts and homes and in our city and in our nation. To see revival that can only happen as we return to God and see reverence for him restored in a way that reveals Jesus to people. And the Lord spoke something to me and he said, for revival to be revealed, there are some things that have to be restored. And I believe we need a restoration of some spiritual disciplines. That when we get in a battle, when we get in a fight, when we get in a jam, that we are willing to hit our knees in prayer and spend time in our prayer closet. We're willing to say, I'm going to fast and seek the Lord. And if he doesn't speak to me the first day, I'm still not going to act. I'm going to continue to press in and say, Lord, I don't want to do things in my own strength. I don't want to act according to my own ideas, preferences, or opinions. I want your heart, your will, your word, your way to this situation. That's how we fight. They sought his presence. And listen, it's worth repeating. How the battle goes for you often depends on who or what you turn to. We need to seek his presence. Number two, stay with his people, with God's people. Verse 4, we just read it. So Judah gathered together. Another translation says they came together. They called an assembly to seek help from the Lord. They came even from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. Listen, the enemy is working overtime to create division and isolation. He's working overtime to create division and isolation in marriages, in families, in churches, in cities. We are polarized in many ways over many circumstances. Should we wear masks? Should we not wear masks? This and that and the other, racial divides, injustices, all these things are creating divisions. And I'm just telling you, as the people of God, We have to understand that we might not even agree on all these things that are trivial, but we can still unite as the people of God because we agree that there's one way, one truth, one light, and his name is Jesus, and he's the hope for all of mankind. Don't let the enemy divide you. Don't let the enemy isolate you because of something that's temporary, because of something that's in the headlines today, but one day will be long forgotten. Keep your eyes set on eternal things and don't allow the enemy to cause you to isolate yourself or bring division. Guard the peace of your relationships. Guard the peace of your home. Be a peacemaker. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. Stay connected with his people. Hebrews 10:25 says it this way in the New Testament. Don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But gather together, encourage one another, strengthen one another, bring life to one another is what it means. And all the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Seek his presence. Stay with his people. Number three, stay in position. Verse 17 says, station yourselves. I said it earlier, but another translation says it that clearly with that word, position yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. There's a position that God has called you to, man of God. As the leader of your home, as a husband, as a father, there's a position that God has called you to, woman of God. As an influencer, as a leader in our community, in this church, and in the PTA, whatever it is, there's a position that God has called you to. Don't allow the circumstances of life, don't allow fear or fatigue or failure or fear of failure to put you on the sidelines of the battle. Stay in your position. Stay in your position. And I was reminded of David, the great man of God, David, who in the Bible describes in the book of Acts as having a heart after God's own heart. Yet in 2 Samuel 11, we see what led to David experiencing one of the most painful chapters in his life, his marriage, his family, and his assignment, his position as a leader. And it all happened. It didn't have to be this way. It didn't have to happen, but he allowed himself to get out of position. And just watch, look what it says. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 through 3, it says, in the spring of the year when kings normally go out to war, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites. He abdicated his position. Listen, there's a position that only you have in your child's life to speak the word of God and to teach them and lead them to know God and to honor God and to fear God and to serve God and to love God and to love people and to serve people. You cannot abdicate it. You cannot even abdicate it to a youth pastor or to a pastor, and you surely can't entrust it to their teachers. You've got to stay in that position, people of God. There's a position that God had called David to. In this season, he was supposed to be out on the battlefield courageously leading the people of God. But he stayed home and he sent someone else in his place. What happened next should have never happened if he'd stayed in position. And it says, late one afternoon after his midday rest, come on, he should have been out fighting and leading and warring, but he was home taking a nap. And it says, David got out of bed and was walking on the roof of the palace. And as he looked out over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. He sent someone to find out who she was, and he was told, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah, the Hittite. And the rest of the chapter, if you read it, goes like this. He sent for her, and he laid with her, and he sinned against God. And he found out who her husband was, and he set into motion the circumstances in which the husband would be placed upon the very front lines of the battle in a way that he was certainly to be killed, and that's exactly what happened. And the Lord redeemed this situation just like he will in our life. Come on, who's thankful for the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ? The Lord redeemed it, but it caused some of the most painful circumstances that David ever had to deal with in his life, his marriage, and his position and assignment as a leader. And it did not have to be this way if he would have simply stayed in his position. What has God called you to? As a husband, as a wife, as a mother, as a father, as a servant, as a leader, as an employee, what has God called you to? What position has he called you to? What has he graced you to do in this church family to make a difference, to come and serve, to lead, to open the doors, to minister to the kids, to make the coffee, to express hospitality, to call and follow up, or to check on people, or to pray for the sick, or what has God called you to? Don't allow something to get you or cause you to be out of position. Stay in position. Seek his presence. Stay with his people. Stay in position. Come on, keep showing up, standing up, speaking up. If you stumble and fall, come on, fail forward and keep getting up. Just like Proverbs 24:16 says that the godly, that's you and I, the righteous ones, we may trip seven times, but we get up again and we just keep on going. Don't let fear, fatigue, or failure put you on the sidelines of the spiritual battle over your life and your family. Stay in position. Stay in your position. Stay in that position of prayer. Stay in that position of seeking after God's presence. Stay in that position of connecting with God's people. Stay in that position of every morning when you get up, looking to the word of God, saying, Lord, I can't do it in my own strength. I don't live by bread alone. I live by the very word of God. And I need you to speak. And I'm building my life on this foundation. The things that the world offers to build my life upon are unsteady and shakable. But this is the only thing that's unshakable, immovable, and unchangeable. And I choose today to build my life upon it. Stay in position. Number four, speak the promises. Speak the promises. And in verse 15, the Spirit of God, as the people had gathered, has fallen upon this young man. And he didn't just discern, he didn't just hear, but what he discerned and what he heard, the Spirit of God quickening in his spirit, he was courageous enough to speak out. And it says in verse 15, he said, he spoke, listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord your God to you, do not fear, do not be dismayed because of this great multitude that's gathering against you. The battle is not yours, but God. And it's time for the people of God. It's time for the preachers of God behind the pulpits of God to rediscover our voice once again and begin to speak with clarity and conviction what God has to say about the matter. Over our own preferences, over our own opinions, over what the culture of the world believes and thinks. Speak the promises. Speaking the word of God over the lies of the enemy. Speaking the word of God over my own thoughts. Speaking the word of God over my own opinions and feelings. Listen, there is life and death in the power of the tongue. And it's time for the people of God to take what we believe and begin to convert it into bold declarations of faith. Come on, over your wife, over your husband, over your children, speaking life, prophesying, declaring things, reminding yourself. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And listen, be encouraged today that you don't have to wait to hear from a pastor or an elder or a preacher or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher. You need to right now where you are begin to discover the word of God, what he has to say about your situation, and begin to speak it. Begin to speak it in a way that your family hears it. Begin to speak it in a way that you hear yourself speaking and reminding yourself about who you are in him and about what's possible because of what he's made possible and about what the future holds for you, that it's a plan that's good and filled with hope. We need to begin to rediscover our voice. Speak the promises of God. God knows your heart, but the enemy doesn't have that authority or that power. And the Bible says in the book of Peter that the enemy goes around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. God knows the thoughts of our heart, the word of God says, but the enemy doesn't have that authority or power. He operates according to what he sees and hears. And listen, when he shows up on your doorstep, what will he hear you speaking? And I'm just telling you, it says seeking whom he may devour. It doesn't say can devour. That would imply that he has the ability to devour whoever he wants. It says may devour, which implies that he's looking for open opportunities or permission. And when he shows up on the doorstep of your home, your family, your health, your marriage, what will he hear? Will he hear a man of God or a woman of God courageously with conviction, speaking boldly the word of God? I will not die, I will live. Will he hear you speaking and declaring, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? Will he hear you speaking and declaring, listen, I'm just telling you, he's looking whom he may devour. And I'm just telling you, he's opportunistic. And when he hears those things, bold declarations of faith found in God's word, I think he moves on to the next person. Like a lion. How many of you watch those National Geographic shows? The lions are looking for the stragglers and the ones on the outside. Come on, you need to begin to speak the word of God over your life with authority. Speak the word of God over your marriage. Speak the word of God over your spouse. Speak and prophesy potential and purpose and destiny and greatness over your children, over your grandchildren that you're yet to meet. Speak and declare the word of God. Seek his presence. Stay with his people. Stay in your position. Speak the promises. Number five, secure your peace. Verse 20 is where we find this out of this chapter that we just read. It says, put your trust in the Lord your God and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets. In other words, his word, what he's spoken, and you will succeed. secure your peace. The Bible says that my peace I leave with you. These are words of Jesus, red letter words in your Bible. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. It's the inheritance of every believer to have a peace that's different. Look what he says. I don't give this to you as the world gives you. The peace of the world is circumstantial and it's fleeting. There's a peace that the world says will bring peace to your life at the bottom of that bottle or at the other side of that website or in that relationship that's not right and ungodly. There's a peace, there's a distraction that the world offers, but it's fleeting, it's circumstantial, it's temporary. But Jesus says, there's a peace that I offer and it's different. Secure your peace. In the midst of the battle, I'm reminding myself that the battle belongs to the Lord. I'm asking the Lord to give me the strength and the grace to do what his word says and take captive all the anxious thoughts. Take captive these thoughts to the obedience of Christ and remind myself that I serve the Prince of Peace. The battle belongs to him. Secure your peace. Listen, peace for a believer is not the absence of problems. It's the presence of a Savior. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the waves, in the valley of the shadow of death, going through some things, real problems, unforeseen, unexpected, unfair, you never knew it, never deserved it, there's peace. But the Bible says surpasses understanding. It's not tied to how things go. It's tied to who you know and who you begin to know that you are because of what he's done. And lastly, the sixth one, sing praise. And it's what we're about to do. So stand to your feet. Every man of God, woman of God, young person of God, stand to your feet. Sing praise. In verse 18 and 19, it says, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. All of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord. What? Worshiping the Lord. Did it seem like what they should do? They were surrounded on all sides. It seems like they should have been scurrying around and building a fort and gathering the weapons and doing whatever. I'm just telling you, that's what it would seem you should do in the natural. God wanted to position them to deliver them a supernatural victory. And they hit their knees and they began to sing and they began to praise. And it says they stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. And it's time for us to rediscover that voice. It's time for us to sing louder, to speak louder, to shout louder than the voice of your problem. To begin to praise in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the problem. Nothing expresses faith like praising God when the outcome is yet to be determined. Lord, I'm still going through this thing. I still have the follow-up checkup. I'm still yet to get the test results. I'm still going through the process of reconciliation. But in the middle of all that, it hasn't happened yet. The miracle hasn't showed up. But in the middle of that, I'm reminding myself that you are good. You are faithful. Your love, your mercy, they endure forever. I'm praising you in the midst of the storm. And reading on, it says, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army. And they said, give thanks to the Lord. His loving kindness is everlasting. And they began singing and praising. And it was as they began singing and praising that the Lord set into motion the process of events that would lead to a supernatural victory. Would you bow your heart, bow your head? Maybe you want to close your eyes. And can we respond to the Lord this morning? And I want to pray over you today. Anyone who's up against what might seem like it's insurmountable, an innumerable enemy, a circumstance, a situation, unforeseen, unexpected, that today you're not sure how you're going to find your way out or see your way through. But today I hope, I pray that the Lord has somehow, some way, he's spoken, he's quickened, he's reminded, or he's revealed to you a pattern for how to fight in a way that allows you to stand still and watch how God will show up and fight on your behalf. And so, Lord, I thank you for, you know, I don't know every circumstance, every situation, the marriages, the families, the health crises, the financial downturns, whatever it is, God, that someone's up against today. We look to you. And Lord, those things and those ways, Lord, that we've maybe been trying to do it in our own strength, the weapons that we've picked up, Lord, and put in our hands, God, today, if those things are not of you, we lay those things down. And we pray today, God, that you would grace us and strengthen us to return, to fight the way that you would have us to fight, to seek your presence, to stay connected with the body of Christ and the fellowship of the saints, Lord, to stay in our purpose and our position, Lord, to seek after your promises, oh God, and to secure our peace, Lord. I pray that anyone here that's just battling anxious thoughts, anxiety, fear, depression, we bind that spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. And we pray today, God, that there would be just a restoration, a deepening of the sense of peace that only comes from knowing that we belong. Not my life doesn't belong to my own self. It belongs to you. And as much as I care about my marriage, my family, my future, you care even more, God, for you are the one that created it and spoke it into existence. We thank you, Lord, for that peace. And Lord, I pray that today we would begin to discover our voice and sing praise even in the midst of the battle. And that as we stand still and we praise you, God, even before the job offer, even before the marriage is restored, even before the healing comes, God, we say we will praise the Lord our God. Our hope, our trust, our strength is found in you and nothing less. Nothing less. Listen, we're about to do that very thing. Praise. Come on, with a loud voice. But before we do, I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here in this room, or maybe you're tuning in online and you're far from God. And maybe you once knew God, served God, grew up in the church, and you would be what the Bible describes as a prodigal son or daughter. Life has happened and you've drifted from God. And or maybe you've never put your trust in Jesus and received his forgiveness, the newness of life that he offers. But listen, if that's you, either of those camps or anywhere in between, I'm telling you, we believe it with all our heart. You are not here in this place or watching online by accident. It's a divine appointment set in motion by the heart of a good father who loved you too much to leave you where you are. He loves you just the way you are. But he loves you too much to leave you there. He sent Jesus to come and make a way that you could be completely forgiven, washed clean, made whole, made new, restored to a relationship with the good Heavenly Father. And listen, if that's you today, what's most important is that your heart is turning to God. But I want to ask you to respond in faith and just in a small way begin to say, I'm going to live this life, and I want you to just lift your hand towards heaven and say, that's me, coming home, giving my heart, giving my life to Jesus. Thank you, young lady over here. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people. Thank you, Lord, for the people who are tuning in from all over the world. Did you know people are tuning in to Rev City from different continents all over the world, watching and participating with us as a church family and responding every week to the free offer of salvation through Jesus Christ. One more moment, if that's you, before we pray, just lift your hand towards heaven. It's an outward sign of an inward work that God is doing in your heart today. And Lord, we just thank you for all these precious people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for these young men over here. Thank you, Lord, for a new season, a new start, a fresh season, God. Thank you that your forgiveness, Lord, knows no bounds. Your mercy and your grace, Lord, it's where sin abounded, grace and mercy abounds much more. One more moment. Anyone else, just respond. Now's the moment to respond to Jesus. He's been knocking, he's been seeking, he's been coming after you, and today's the day to give your life to God and get right with him. Thank you, Lord. Well, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna pray this together. And those of you who are part of this church family know that we do this. You can put your hands down if you lifted your hands. And we do this every week for a couple reasons. And one is to just quickly show these amazing people that there's a church family, a fellowship that wants to quickly come around them and support them, encourage them, and walk alongside them in their fresh faith with Jesus Christ. And two, we do it together because it reminds us that even as we are growing in our faith, we never graduate from grace. I still need Jesus today as much as I ever have. And so come on, many hands went up in this room, and I trust online as well. Let's pray this together with them and to support them and to just remind us about our need for Jesus today. And so come on with a loud voice. Would you pray this out? Repeat after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price I could never pay, to make a way I might have a new life and a fresh start. I give you that life. I give you my trust. And because of Jesus, because of the cross of Jesus, I'll never be the same. I will never be the same. And someone ought to shout with all of heaven for the people whose lives were changed today in Jesus' name. Hey, come on, let's worship the Lord together one more time today. And then Amity's gonna come and dismiss us today.